Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Punxsutawney Dodge Center here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, this is the time of year when we try to predict how much longer winter will go on. You know, Roadhog Day.
Right.
So we dutifully pushed my brother's 63 Dart out into the parking lot. Notice pushed to see if it would cast a shadow.
And?
Well,
Tell the truth.
Even though it was broad daylight with all that rust, it refused to cast a shadow. Pretty sad, isn't it?
It is sad.
Yeah.
What can you do?
What a heap. I'm amazed at how quickly you can turn almost any car into junk.
All I do is drive it.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens. I drive it, and it turns to junk.
Yeah, but it's nice how you have that compost heap just going right in the back seat all the time. It's great. I mean, the leaves, the worms that get in there.
Yeah. I'm growing tomatoes.
You know what's really impressive? That the seedlings that fall off the maple trees in your driveway.
Yeah. And
that
they
actually
take root.
actually grow in the backseat.
You may think that's a joke, but that is the absolute truth. The seedlings actually take root in the back seat.
Yeah.
And they grow. You grow trees in your car. It's kind of homey. I rather like it.
Do you have any great mail to read?
I have one great piece of mail, and it's also
you're gonna just launch right into it.
It's also brief.
You don't want to start. You don't want to warm us up with a few crummy ones like you usually do.
No.
Okay.
Remember we were talking about combination businesses like funeral parlor and furniture store and all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Rich Rosenthal from where are you from? Charlotte, North Carolina. Dear Click and Clack, I listened to your show in which you describe businesses that have combined. I used to live in a small town northwest of Charlotte, North Carolina. There was a story about a veterinarian who got together with a taxidermist and opened a combined practice in a small storefront. They hung out a big sign that said, "Either way, you'll get your dog back." Isn't that good?
That's terrific.
Either way.
Are you ready for a call? I can tell.
There's a message in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's pretty clear.
I have a feeling that we will have need for that little phrase. Either way, you'll get your dog back.
Well, I always thought of opening up a combination auto repair shop and junkyard. When you can't fix them, you're just junk.
That's right. You're in the right place no matter what. Either way, you're in the right place.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Joan from Lamont.
Joan from Lamont.
Yeah.
Now, let us figure out where Lamont is.
Lamont must be in Vermont.
No.
No.
I have to guess Pennsylvania.
It's in Illinois.
I knew that. I was just testing you, Joan.
Lamont, Illinois.
Yes.
I won't ask where in Illinois because it doesn't matter to me, frankly. I don't know anything about Illinois, nor do I care to learn any more than I know already.
Oh, it's a nice state.
Well, maybe it is.
Yeah,
I don't care. Chicago, and Chicago's pretty neat, but that's about all we know.
That's in Illinois?
Well, we're near Chicago.
Oh, you are?
Well, that makes you all right then.
Oh, thanks.
So what's up, Joan?
Okay, I drive the neatest little car. It's a 1990 Ford Festiva, and it does this really weird thing. Mm. When I'm accelerating from a stop sign or a stoplight, or when I'm turning the wheel, it makes this really loud, screechy noise, and everybody looks at me.
It happens when you're accelerating and when you're turning the steering wheel.
Yes.
Oh, that's because...
That's a classic.
That's because the hamsters are applying extra torque to the flywheel.
I mean, we know what this is, but I have to say that the Festiva... you love this car.
Joan obviously loves it.
She loves it. And I'm not going to say anything bad about it.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
You are.
My kids do. They make fun of it all the time.
Our friend has lived his entire life driving Festivas of one kind or another. He probably has had 10 of them, usually all at one time.
It's on the one-a-month program.
And it's amazing. I mean, he now has a band, and the entire band and all their instruments travel in the Festiva. Drums, stand-up bass. Unbelievable little car.
Well, you know, my son is a percussion player, and we have fit the drum set in the Festiva.
Yeah,
I know. We have.
Well, it's an efficient use of space.
Yes,
it certainly is. And
it
it's fun.
Is. But it's a little embarrassing to drive it. Now, my husband, he thinks he's a mechanic, but he isn't. He says, I need new belts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we would say, too.
Your husband's
really?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, he's right.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah, you don't have belts, plural, on this car, I don't think.
Oh, there's only one?
No, I think it's suspenders that the Festiva comes with.
You don't have air.
Thank you very much.
Do you have air conditioning?
Oh, my gosh, no.
Are you kidding?
You have power steering.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you probably have power assist.
Yeah, you must.
Oh, I might? You don't have airbags. I know that.
Airbags? No. You have a couple of shopping bags. Fill them up with pillowcases.
Yeah, no, it sounds very much like a loose belt or a glazed belt.
Oh, so nothing really serious.
Like a glazed donut.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's anything too serious.
I think your husband's right. Now, why did you doubt him, Joan?
I'm not going to tell him he's right. No, I will.
What are you going to tell him?
Well, see, before I knew him when he was 18, he had this really cool TR4.
Oh, yeah.
And he dropped a bolt into the transmission when he was working on it and blew a hole in the housing. Oh. So the only thing I'll let him do on the Fest is change my headlights when I need new lights.
So this guy has to live with the legacy of this stupid little bolt.
Stupid.
I mean, how many years ago was that? 20?
Yes. Oh, it was before we even knew
before
each other.
You, and so he has to live with the sin on his. He's got a big A on his chest because of this?
Well, yeah. I mean, would you let him.
I won't say what the A stands for.
But yeah, I don't want him, you know, dropping a bolt in my transmission.
No, I mean, give the guy a break. He may have learned a lot in the last 20 years.
Well, I'm sure he has.
I'm sure he has.
What does he do for a living? Is he like a rocket scientist or something?
No, no. He's the director of music at a high school.
He doesn't know anything about mechanics.
Yeah, keep him away from your car.
Change the belt, Joan. That's all it's going to need.
Oh, gosh. Thanks, guys. That's terrific.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For calling.
Motor mounts are probably broken. You know, the engine's going to fall out in the street tomorrow. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Stephen from Hector, New York.
Stephen.
Stephen with a PH?
With a PH.
Oh, where are you from?
Hector, New York. It's near Watkins Glen.
Oh, okay.
I have a 2003 Toyota Sienna minivan, and when it's cold, which it almost always is in the winter, both sliding doors freeze.
Oh.
One is automatic, one is not. I have a 7-month-old and a 4.5-year-old.
And when you say freeze, you can't open it or close it?
You can't get it open to try and close it.
Right, you can't open it so you can try to close it. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you left it open all night, you might be able to close it.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right. And you just, you know, put the kid in the car seat with the snow.
Is this often fall? Is this happen when cold weather is followed by precipitation, like if you get rain and then it gets real cold?
Yeah, and if it's super, super cold, like 4 degrees, it doesn't seem to happen.
It doesn't seem to happen.
Yeah, because the air can't hold enough moisture at 4 degrees for it to happen.
What if it's 20 degrees and it didn't rain?
It can. We live on a dirt road, so there's a lot of moisture that can get kicked up.
So let me say this. You live in Hector. You live on a dirt road. It's 20 degrees below zero. You can't open the door. Well, you guys are living in a...
And I do have a garage.
But you don't use it.
Because I built my wife a chicken coop in there.
Ah.
So I have 25 chickens residing where my nice minivan should be.
And chickens can live at 5 degrees?
Yeah, they're pretty hardy.
Yeah, no, chickens are tough. Yeah, we think we've domesticated the chicken, but the chickens could live outside if they had to. So these are laying hens that you have?
They are laying hens, yep, and a few overly adventurous roosters.
Oh, all you need is one of them.
Yeah.
So what's your cholesterol level? I'm just curious. I mean, you're eating all these eggs. I mean, your cholesterol is going to be up through the roof, right?
We do eat a lot of eggs. We sell them, too, though.
Oh.
Yeah, but the ones you don't sell, you got to eat, right?
That's true.
Yeah. So what are your numbers? Do you know?
What are your LDLs? Good.
They're good?
Yeah.
Well, the egg has come under a lot of fire recently, you know, but I guess scientists are beginning to change their take on the egg. They think the egg is probably okay.
It's the bacon, probably.
What is this, medical talk?
It must be the bacon and all the other stuff that's doing it.
Yeah.
So anyway, what's your question?
Frozen doors.
Oh, the weather stripping is freezing. to the body of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you should try to do is spray. You're going to tell me you did this already, but spray that weather stripping with silicone lubricant.
Okay.
You haven't done that.
I have not done that.
Ah, you can buy that at almost any hardware store. It's silicone in a spray can. And what it does is it just makes that rubber slippery so that it creates a barrier so the water doesn't get absorbed on the surface of the rubber and it won't allow it to freeze to the body opening.
Great.
All right, you can try that.
Okay.
If that doesn't work, 5 chickens living in there will do the trick.
Okay. Keep it warm enough.
Yeah.
Good luck, Stephen.
All right, thanks a lot.
Good luck, man.
Bye-bye. Yep.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I'm Shlomit. I'm calling from Maine.
You're who?
Shlomit. You want me to spell it for you?
I'm afraid so.
S-H-L-O-M-I-T.
No kidding. Where are you from?
Warren, Maine.
Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Warren?
It's what they call mid-coast Maine, near Rockland and Camden.
That narrows it right down for me. But
it's about halfway down the coast as you're heading east.
Do you want to talk about your name now or later?
We don't have to talk about it at all.
We have to.
Okay.
I mean, you can't call us and tell us your name is Shlomit and ask and expect us to just let that pass.
Well, I don't know.
You might be the only Shlomit in the entire world.
No, actually, there. Not only am I not the only one in the world, but there's another Shlomit with my same maiden name in Texas.
In Texas. Okay, so you have to go 4,000 miles.
Or to your local Social Security office. They can connect us right up.
Okay.
Well, what is the origin of the name?
It's Hebrew. I was born in Israel. It means peace. It's from the same root as Shalom.
Shalom, Shlomit.
Shlomo is the masculine, Solomon.
See, there's always an answer. It's
always something to be learned.
Always something.
You know, it's great.
In my case,
it's great being stupid. Because the amount of stuff you can learn on a daily basis is unbelievable.
I mean, would it have been interesting if she had said, "Hi, my name is Shlomit," and I say, "Oh, that's Hebrew, isn't it? Doesn't that mean peace?" Now, then what good would that be? Isn't it better that she taught us something?
Yes, and you won't forget it now.
What?
All right.
Okay, so we got that out of the way. Now we can feel a little bit better, and we can focus all our attention on whatever it is you want to discuss, Shlomit.
Well, I want to discuss Vanna White, the average white van.
Vanna White.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a 1990 Plymouth Voyager. I know, one of your favorite vehicles.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
But actually, it's not really Vanna's problem. It's really kind of a marital problem.
Ah, yes.
When my husband drives, which is always when he's in the car with me, because I'm not allowed to drive when we're in the car together.
Well, he's the man.
Well, yeah, right. Exactly. he's giving me a look now, too. Sometimes, it doesn't happen all the time. It's like when we're in traffic. He'll use both feet. This is an automatic transmission. But he'll use both feet. And I'm kind of on his case about it. And I finally said that we should go to an expert.
Or two.
Right, and find out who's right here. I, who say that you're kind of getting your car to fight with itself if you're using both feet, or he, who says that he's always very, very careful not to use them both at the same time, although I look down there and it looks like he's using them both at the same time.
So, what kind of pants does he usually wear?
kind of grubby chinos.
Chinos, not plaid.
Does he have one of those plastic things in his? What does he do for a living?
We're carved stone. We make monuments and gravestones, and we build things out of stone.
So he's reasonably coordinated.
He's very coordinated.
He's very coordinated.
Yeah. Guy's an artist.
He's a great dancer.
He's a great
dancer and an artist.
Then he's doing fine.
Sure, fine.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, if he were a klutz, then I would say don't let him drive with 2 feet, because it's entirely possible he's stepping down with both feet at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that it's the end of the world. I mean, let's put it all in perspective, you know? I mean, what if he were stepping down with both feet at the same time?
Well, it would be injurious to the brakes, and it would be injurious to the transmission. But neither of those things, either separately or together, would be the end of the world, because there's only one thing that's the end of the world. So, yeah, in the giant scheme of things, he can do it. He can do it with our blessing.
Yeah. I mean, the danger is if you're stepping on the gas and you're lightly stepping on the brake pedal at the same time, you're going to glaze all the brake parts that are supposed to do the braking. And pretty soon, they're not going to do braking so well anymore. Now, what do you do about this? You replace them all. So it costs you a few bucks.
Yeah, it does bother. I know I do get infuriated sometimes by old geezers Yeah. I will soon be an old geezer.
No, he's still a pretty young
geezer. I was mentioning that I do get infuriated by old geezers who drive with 2 feet that seem to have their brake lights on all the time.
Yeah. See, and they are doing damage, but they're doing it because their legs won't move fast enough.
Oh, his legs are pretty quick.
He's a dancer, right?
Oh, he's a great dancer. Yeah. We go to weddings, and the bride will come up to me after the wedding and say, you know, the best part of today was dancing with your husband.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Now, but what about leaving the windshield wipers on when he turns the key off?
Bad,
especially in Warren, Maine.
Why in Warren? Why is it worse here?
Well, it's worse there because envision, if you will, the usual weather.
Yes.
You go to sleep at night. You left the windshield wipers on. Why? Because it was precipitating in some way.
Right. Generally rain.
At night, it gets cold.
Right.
You get either a ton of snow or ice or whatever on the windshield.
And the blades freeze to the glass.
They freeze to the glass. Now, you get out the next day, and you turn the key to start the engine, and the engine starts, but the windshield wipers can't move because they're frozen to the windshield. But the motor doesn't know they're frozen to the windshield. The motor wants to turn. And you will fry the motor.
Or strip the gears, or bend the wiper transmission, or some other such thing.
Something horrible will happen.
Okay, so it's one for me and one for him, it sounds like.
What
could be better?
It's good. There always should be give and take in a marriage.
There's always should.
Well, thank you very, very much.
Nice to talk to you, Shlomi. Okay.
It's a pleasure to have met you.
Pleasure to have met you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Tommy, do you remember anything at all about last week's Puzzler? I didn't think so. Well, it's just another in my series of Bedouin travel puzzles.
Ah, yes!
And I'll have the answer in just a minute, so stay tuned.
I was on my way out of the city, coming home, and singing this old tune, I found myself making up a song about my car. I've been a many a mile in this old car. I hope I got many more. Oh, because little Molly sees that it's well cared for. The spark plug spark, the carburetor carbs, the pistons do what they're supposed to do. Ooh, little Molly keeps it lubricated all the time.
And even though Punxsutawney Phil grabs some sound insulation and dives back down his hole as soon as he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a jackhammer operator and miss grating noises when you get home.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's Puzzler.
Yeah, let's go.
Well, this was another Bedouin travel Puzzler, because you liked the first one
so much. I did like it. It was great. It was rotten.
Anyway, this Bedouin is driving home from work late one night, and his car breaks down. We'll call him Fred. And he calls his brother and says, Frank, I need help. You got to come rescue me. My car broke down. So many hours later, Frank shows up with his car and the tow rope.
Yeah.
Right? They assess the situation, and the broken-down Bedouin, that is Fred, says, are you ready? And the rescuing brother, Frank says, I can't tow you home.
Yeah.
Fred says, well, that's okay. I'll tow you. Huh? I mean, after all, the guy broke down. He calls for help.
Yeah.
And he's going to do the towing? How could this possibly be?
Wow.
Well, the way it could possibly be, the only scenario I can envision, is that Fred's brakes had failed.
Yeah.
So if in fact Frank had tried to tow him home, he'd be crashing into him every time he stopped.
Sonia Henny's tutu.
On the other hand, if Fred is driving
the broken car
in the front,
and Frank steps on the brake.
And he steps on the brake. The brother will see the brake lights and know enough to step on the brake light, to step on the brake himself and slow both cars down.
Because the rope will pull.
Until the rope breaks. That's next week.
Man, that's very good.
Do we have a winner this week?
No. Nobody won. Yeah, we got a winner.
They were so disgruntled over last week.
See, now that's a good puzzler. That's good.
I realize there is not an abundance of good puzzlers out there.
Oh.
So you can't go shooting your wad.
No. You gotta
go for the long
dole them out.
Run, and you gotta intersperse a couple of stinkers in there. And
sure.
More than that, it makes people really appreciate the few good ones that come along every once in a while.
Sure, I mean, don't forget, even the best of hitters bats only like 300.
That's right.
In baseball. Sure. And everyone thinks he's a hero and a star.
And he makes $4.9 million a year. Don't forget that part.
And don't forget that part.
Yeah.
So if you hit one out of three, that's pretty good.
You're about one
out of ten. But the winner is Victoria Laudis from Douglaston, New York. And for having her answer selected at random from among all those thousands of correct answers that we got, Victoria is going to get a $25 gift certificate to Car Talk's Shameless Commerce Division. With this $25, she can get, in time for Valentine's Day, maybe, a copy of our best-selling CD, Men Are From GM and Women Are From Ford, Calls About Couples and Cars. It has done wonders for my marriage, certainly.
Marriages.
By the way, speaking of that, I have a little note to read. We got an email, speaking of Valentine's Day, from Kathy Stark. I think that's her name. Her name must be Catherine. Because Valentine's Day is coming up, I urge you to remind mechanics everywhere not to buy their wives or girlfriends gifts from the Snap-on truck. I have been married to a mechanic for 28 years, and while I have received many fine gifts for Christmas, birthday, Valentine's Day from the Snap-on truck, the selection really is quite limited. Good, Kathy. Well, I mean, sometimes you have to be reminded. I mean, there's nothing the guy would want more than something from the Snap-on truck, so he just assumes his wife or girlfriend wouldn't appreciate it as much.
And rest assured, when the Snap-on truck pulls in on February 14th, you will buy a Valentine's present from the Snap-on guy. Anyway, we'll have a new, I'm going to call
automotive this... Automotive or non?
Well, quasi.
Historic or non-historic?
No.
Folkloric or non-folkloric?
BS?
lousy or not lousy?
Maritime.
Good. Oh. Excellent.
We'll have a new maritime puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show.
Transportation, at least.
It is transportation, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you can call us and ask us questions about anything, even your car. The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Noah calling you from Huntsville, Alabama.
Huntsville?
Yeah, actually, I'm calling you from my lab at Marshall Space Flight Center, where I'm a graduate student.
Ooh.
So, oh. I'm in the middle of running various experiments and
reentry experiments.
No. This is spray diagnostics experiments for liquid rocket engine spray systems.
Well, what does that mean? You're a grad student. They have a school at the Marshall Space Flight Center?
No. What it means is that I'm actually a student at the University of Alabama in Huntsville, and I have a fellowship from NASA which supports me to come out here and do experiments
and play around in the lab.
Play around in the lab and play with computers and lasers and all kinds.
And get paid for it, probably.
Not
well,
much.
I get paid some for it, but, yeah. you don't make a lot of money being a graduate student.
Oh, we know.
And what is my personal contribution to this little junk that you're on?
So, wait, what is your personal contribution?
How much did I have to pay to the government so it could get filtered through those 20,000 hands of bureaucracy and give you $100 a week?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I would hazard to think how much is getting cut off above my head.
Well,
but,
how about I just give you the $100? Cut
out the middleman.
You can mail a check directly to me if you like.
Yeah, I'll just mail it to you. Yeah.
But I am very grateful to the taxpayers of the United States for putting me through school.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
As are we, because you'll be a valuable asset. Someday.
I certainly hope so.
Well, it's good to talk to a scientist. I mean, we can talk technical stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, come on, lay it on us. Give it to us, and we'll talk technical.
Okay, let's talk technical.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a 1977 Ford ghetto van.
Which is what?
A regular Ford E150, right?
Correct. But it's been ghetto-sized by spending many years in Baltimore before I bought it for $500. The situation is that it's got the old-style manual choke. Not the manual choke, but the heater spring, right?
Right.
And there's some little tube that vents or sucks air up off of the exhaust manifold. It's just kind of wedged in a hole in the exhaust
manifold.
Right,
that's right.
From the choke stove.
Exactly.
That thing is called the stove. That piece, that tube is a stove.
Right.
It is.
Yes.
I just got a new choke stove then.
Ah,
the guy out
good.
Here at NASA bent me one out of a piece of tubing. He did a great job.
Exactly. Good.
So anyhow, I've reinstalled that guy, and I can't seem, and I've been messing with it for a long time, and I can't seem to get the exact right setting. It seems like if I set it so that the choke just closes off enough to get it started easily, then when I'm driving down the road and the cool air is running across the engine, it cools the choke stove down enough that then the choke starts to engage a little bit. And I know this is happening because if I throw it in neutral,
I can see
that it's revving, you know, at around 1,500 RPM.
There you go. What he failed to give you was the piece of insulation that goes over the choke stove.
Oh, okay.
Now, when you if you weren't so cheap and you bought one at the parts store for $3.
Now, wait
bucks.
A minute here. the two that I have is far superior to anything you could get in the parts store.
Yes, but when they made that vehicle, that whole thing was covered with a little asbestos sleeve.
Okay, so I need to get some insulation and put it around there.
That's right, and I'm sure that you've got some very expensive stuff there
absolutely.
In the lab.
Maybe you can get some of the tiles they use on the space shuttle.
I'd lay some of those tiles. They're only about $1,500 a piece.
You insulate that stove,
and you'll be in Fat City.
All right.
See you, Noah.
Good luck, Noah.
Guys.
Our pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, you know what time it is now?
Time to order that shop vac for the missus?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! This is the part of the show where we invite someone back on the show to see if the advice that we gave was well done.
Or burned to a crisp. So who's our lucky player this week?
Well, the little card here says it's Tracy from Staten Island. Remember Tracy?
No, but Staten Island rings a bell.
Well, Tracy called us a couple of months ago with an ethical dilemma.
Ah, your specialty. Yes. Unethical dilemmas.
Well, she wanted to do something unethical, and she wanted us to give her permission to do it.
There is a totally junked out Nissan Stanza that has been parked in front of my house for at least 2.5, maybe 3 months.
I didn't know my brother was visiting.
It is a total junker car.
Uh-huh.
It has been ticketed because the plates and the registration don't match. If you look in the car, which I have done, on the passenger seat is a stack of registration stickers. So to me, this car just screams, I've been dumped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So in New York, the only way it can get towed is if it's got enough tickets on it, you know, over a certain amount of money, then the cops can tow it, or if it doesn't have plates on it.
Yeah.
Oh.
You see where this is going.
Oh, Tracy, you little devil, you. Yeah, she wanted the plates to accidentally fall off the car so she could have it towed.
Yeah, so did we tell her to back into the car a few times until the plates, until she knocked them loose, you know?
No. We told her not to do it.
Oh.
We said, what if the owner of the car is in some hospital bed worrying about his poor little Nissan Stanza?
Really? We gave her a decent, ethical, considerate answer?
Yeah. And we told her to push it down the block 50 feet so it would be in front of somebody else's.
Now you're talking. Let's see how we did. Tracy, are you there?
I am here.
Look, before you fill us in, we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk, have we?
No, we haven't.
And the answer you're about to give us has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the coupon that we sent you from No Questions Asked Towing Service.
No, it hasn't.
All right, so Tracy, is the car still there?
No, it's gone.
It is gone.
I know what happened. The guy, I can see it. I know what happened.
What happened?
The guy showed up with his crutches after his lengthy stay in the hospital with his head all bandaged. Right? He was in a coma.
I'll bet not.
He showed up. He put the crutches in there. Probably took him 10 minutes to get himself seated in the car.
And the car started right up, of course.
Oh, of course.
No, it's gone, and I had nothing to do with it.
Really?
I came home from work, and the car was gone. But this is the funny story, and this is where you really helped me.
Yeah?
Is I came home from work one day, and the license plate had fallen onto the street.
So had you
And
just...
you didn't help it fall onto the street.
No. And I had, you know, the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. And the devil was saying, this is your chance. Throw in the trash can and be done with this car. And the angel was saying, no, listen to Click and Clack. You told them you'd do what they said to do. And so I got in, got my husband, and we hung the license plate onto the car with paper clips.
Well, there must be a criminal offense doing that.
So why did it get towed away?
We don't know that it got towed. It's just gone.
No, you know what? It is actually now parked about three blocks away from my house. So if I miss it, I can go visit it and spend some quality time with the Stanza.
Oh, so I'm sure in a couple of weeks we're going to get a call from one of your neighbors.
Well,
and we're going to tell them to put it in front of your house.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Wow.
Well, thank you very much for keeping me on the straight and narrow.
Well,
I've never done that before.
I'm glad you did the right thing, but I'm sure your husband had something to do with that plate falling off. I'm not
just
sure.
Just to hear me stop whining, exactly.
Yeah, and who knows how the car got moved, but there's no evidence that it's being driven, I bet.
It's been in the same spot now for...
Well, it's not your problem anymore, Tracy.
It's not, and I am living a life on the straight and narrow, so thank you very much.
So would you say that all things considered, did we give you good advice?
You gave me fantastic advice. Thank you
Great.
Very, very much.
Oh, boy. Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Tracy.
It is my pleasure. Thanks again, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
But right now you can call us and stump us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ryan. I'm calling from Bloomington, Minnesota.
Hey, Ryan, what's going on?
Well, I have a 2001 Saturn SC2, and I was doing some maintenance on it last week, and I realized that both of my front tires are stuck on the car.
Oh, you can't get the wheels off.
I can't get the wheels off, correct. And as I was thinking about why this might be, I realized that a few months ago I decided I was going to swap tires and wheels with my car and my wife's 2003 Saturn Ion.
Uh-huh.
And when I did this, I now recall that...
So your wife had really nice tires on her car, and you wanted to... And under the cover of darkness, you wanted to swap with her.
Well, that's one explanation.
Well, did you tell her you were going to do this?
She didn't notice until several months later, but she did notice.
So you didn't tell her?
I did not tell her, no.
All right, so you took her...
Okay,
you took all four of her tires, or just two?
I took all four of her tires and wheels and put them on my coupe.
And you left her with the baldies that you put on her. Okay.
But she actually got some nicer tires and wheels out of the swap.
Okay.
The rims that I took off of my car were alloy rims with nice tires, and they went onto the Ion just fine.
Yeah.
The tires and wheels that I took off of the Ion are the steel rims.
Right.
And I remember when I put them on, they didn't quite fit up tight against the hub on the front wheels. I had to use the lug nuts to kind of force the center bore of the wheel up onto that spindle or hub.
Right. There's a boss on that hub that sticks out, and there's a hole in the middle of the wheel that's supposed to fit over that.
Right. And usually it should fit real loose, but this, when I put them on, I noticed it was tight, and it didn't go up tight until I cranked the lug nuts down with the breaker.
And how much did you have to crank them down to get these wheels to seat against?
Oh, it wasn't too much. You know, it might have been a quarter of an inch.
Huh. And you have to supply significant force to the breaker bar?
It wasn't significant, but I did need a breaker bar to do it.
You did need a breaker bar.
Yes.
2 foot one?
No, not quite that big.
One footer. All right.
One
well,
footer.
You know, I think what you have done now is you have, the technical term is you've swaged the wheel onto that hub. And you've basically stretched the metal and deformed it. And that's why you ain't ever getting it off.
So I should just sell the car.
Yeah.
Well, no, you can get
before the tires wear out. Because no one's going to be able to replace the tires.
You only replace them on the car. So you'll be able to get these wheels off if you loosen all the wheel nuts, and
whack everything with a hammer.
Yeah, but easier than that might be to just loosen them and just drive it back and forth without having taken the nuts off, you know, 10 feet forward, 10 feet back, hit the brakes, turn the wheel left and right, you may get them to break loose. But the bottom line is, unless there's a lot of rust on one of these surfaces, they're probably the wrong wheels.
Right.
So your wife has the four wheels that she wants.
Yep.
And you're going to have to go out and buy at least two wheels for the front of this thing.
Yep, I probably will.
You're not going to drive around this SC2 with four steel wheels. You're gonna get yourself some nice alloy wheels, aren't you?
Well, now that I have the excuse that I have to do that.
Right.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
This whole thing's going to cost you $1,000. Should have left well enough alone. Your wife wasn't complaining about the steel wheels, was she?
No, she wasn't complaining about them, no.
And you did this Why?
Out of the goodness of my heart, I wanted her to have the better tires on her car.
Oh, what a wonderful husband. Jeez, see how that worked. Anyway, check it out, and if you have to buy some wheels, go for it, man.
Okay.
Good luck, Ryan.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, look, it's now time for us to pause and reflect.
Reflect? Reflect on what?
I'm going to scrape up a new puzzle during this very brief station break.
We'll be back in a minute. And even though constitutional lawyers argue over the definition of cruel and unusual whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. Did I say this was a maritime?
Marital. You alluded to maritime something or other.
Well, It's there's nothing to do with Bedouins.
No, it doesn't.
Regrettably, however, this came
not even ships of the desert.
No. This is ships of the sea. This came across my desk recently, 94. And I don't know if this is true or not, but it's never stopped me in the past.
Never.
So
nor
I,
will it in the future.
This was sent in by I don't know who sent it in. You can't tell.
You can't tell, no.
Yeah.
It comes from cyberspace, and no one knows who sends it. That's all right.
Here we go. He or she says, name, Dale.
Dale.
Good. He or she.
Still don't know if it's he or she.
I used to work at a marina where we stored and launched boats with an overhead crane and occasionally cut the motor mounts off so the boats
drop
could
the
float them.
It's not going to work with the boat.
No.
That's a
not
problem.
Well. Anyway, we had a repair shop with about 5 mechanics, parts department, and a new and used boat sales department. I think I visited there once.
I love it already.
One day, a customer used his inboard boat for water skiing and left it parked at the dock overnight. He came in to use it the next morning, and the battery was dead. He had left his running lights on.
Mm-hmm.
So the head mechanic pulls the battery out and takes it to the shop for a quick charge. A while later, they take the battery back to the boat, they put it in and try to start it. The starter spins up, you can hear the motor turn, but it doesn't engage the flywheel.
Mm-hmm.
It started fine several times just the day before, the owner of the boat says. You know, so this could possibly be wrong now. So they pull the starter off, figuring the starter's no good. And they put it on the bench in the shop, and everything looked okay. In fact, they tested it.
And it jumped right up.
It worked perfectly. The gear popped out.
Yeah.
The thing spun. So they put it back in the boat. Again, it spins up but doesn't engage the flywheel.
Yeah, got it.
An hour later, they figured it out.
An hour?
Yeah.
During which time they were what? Having coffee, smoking cigars?
Exactly. And the hour has nothing whatsoever to do with much of anything.
Oh, okay.
Maybe has nothing.
An hour later, they figured out what was wrong, and did they fix it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, they fixed it. And in fact, all the hints are here. But there was nothing wrong with the motor, the starter motor. There was nothing wrong with the engine.
We know that.
And there was nothing wrong with the battery.
Oh, really?
I think. If you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or a bird's eye maple handmade dining room set. With 6 chairs, please.
Can you mail that? Well, hey, why not?
Why not? You can mail just about anything else. You may have to take the legs off.
You may have to take the legs off so I can get through the machine.
And send that dining room set to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fifth city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, as always, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-282-2782-55.
Yeah.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Andrea.
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 Yeah.
And where
not
are you?
Andrea.
No.
And not Andrea.
Right.
Andrea.
But I'll answer to anything.
Andrea.
Right.
Okay.
Call me anything except late for dinner.
Exactly.
And where are you calling us from, Andrea?
I am calling from Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
Williamsport, PA.
Home of Little League Baseball.
Oh, is that where the Little League World Series is played?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Who wins the Little League World Series nowadays?
Whoever pays the umpires the most.
Thank you. No comment.
I don't want to start a rant and rave, but I am violently opposed to Little League baseball.
Oh, I am too, for a lot of different reasons.
Well, here's one of my main reasons.
Okay.
Little kids are perfectly capable of organizing their own baseball game. They don't need adults and parents to do it for them. You throw 15 kids out on grass, and if they want to play baseball, they'll figure out where the bases should go, who's going to be
and
the
better
umpire.
Than that, if they don't figure it out, they may invent a new game.
They may invent a new game
like
or
basketball.
Whatever. I mean, who are we to tell them to play baseball the way and when we want them to play it?
Well,
back off.
In fact, the parents should be present only to take kids to the hospital if they're injured.
One parent can handle that.
Or to instruct them as to the rules of the game. But they should not interfere in any other way, and there should be no coaching allowed.
You don't need to even need that. How did you figure out what the rules were? You made them up.
I played Little League.
You make up the rules. Someone says, wait, you can't run when there's a pop fly. Someone else says, shut up. Of course you can.
And that's why you only got 16th. All those playground arguments. So I played Little League, and they taught me the rules.
But the arguments are good. The kids are growing up. Back off.
Well, I
agree.
Andrea,
I wish we could talk to you, but we're so violently opposed to Little League.
Kids shouldn't play
baseball.
Competitive sports at that age.
No. In my humble opinion,
all right,
of course.
Andrea.
So, Andrea, what's up?
Wait a minute. I have to catch my breath.
Well, she brought up. Did I bring it up?
Yeah, why the hell did you say that stuff about the Little League? We didn't even know where Williamsport, Pennsylvania was. God's sake. Little League.
Yeah, so what's up? You got a car?
Okay.
Or a boyfriend? Is it a car or a boyfriend problem?
It would be husband, or I would really be in trouble.
Well, that would be a problem then, wouldn't it?
It certainly would be a problem, yeah. Okay, the question is actually twofold. My car has a tendency to fog up pretty bad, the front, the sides, the back, and I can't see out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so my
Japanese car? Honda?
Oh, yeah.
Honda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So right away you know you're going to get the right answer from us because you didn't even tell us what kind of car you had,
and
we zapped right in on it.
Okay. So strike one for you guys.
One for us, yeah.
Okay. So my first question is, why does this happen?
Why does this happen?
Right. I'm
going to write these down. One, why does it happen?
I've been told it's, when the temperature inside the car is warmer than outside of the car.
Yeah, that was the engineer guy who told you that, probably your husband.
Right, or vice versa.
And what'd your boyfriend tell you?
Or I...
I'm going to get you in trouble no matter what.
No comment.
No comment. Question two.
Question two is, how do you get rid of it?
How to stop
it. What do you do?
Well, the reason your car fogs up is that you get moisture that's in the passenger compartment condensing on the cold glass. And it's more likely to happen in the wintertime because the glass is what in the winter?
Cold.
Cold. Just like moisture in the air condenses on your glass of iced tea in the summertime.
Okay, but now why does it happen inside my car?
Because the moisture is inside the car.
Coming out of your lungs.
Because you're in there.
I mean, I can't produce this much fog.
Put a panting dog in your car for 5 minutes.
And you won't be able to see. It'll take you a week to scrape the stuff off the window, most of which is saliva.
So there's no question that, and plus the fact that you introduce moisture to the car in the winter by getting into the car, for example, with snow and ice on your shoes.
Okay. Mm.
And then that stuff melts but becomes part of the ecosystem of the interior of your car, along with the other things that are growing in there, like the mushrooms and the trees and whatever.
See, this is the reason that most of us don't drive our cars in the winter.
My heavens!
Most of us civilized people. So the way you get rid of this, you on your dashboard.
You take the bus.
Are you listening? Did you call us?
She's probably watching some damn Little League game on television.
Okay, I'm listening.
On your dashboard, you have various controls for the heater, one of which shows there are two little buttons next to each other, one of which shows a U with an arrow on it, and the other one is a...
Oh, yeah, recirculate versus fresh.
Right, so which one do you have it on?
Well,
she's tried them both.
It all depends on who I consult, of course.
You're consulting the so-called experts now.
Yeah. And you've got it on the wrong setting.
Okay.
You have it on recirculate.
Probably.
Yeah, and recirculate is death.
Okay.
Right, because all you're doing is recirculating that same moisture round and around and around again.
My own breath.
There you go.
Breath, and more and more of your breath comes out because you keep breathing until you pass out. And there's no place for it to go except stick on the window.
Even when you are on the recirculate mode, you do mix in some outside air, but not anywhere near as much as you mix in when you're on the outside air mode. But even better than that is turning on the AC, which most cars do automatically when you turn on the defroster.
Okay.
The function of an air conditioner, the reason air conditioners work, is they remove moisture from the air.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Okay.
Yeah, but turning on the, just pressing the button that says new air.
Right.
Yeah, well, might do it. That's what it's there for.
Okay.
Cool, huh?
Andrea, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and your secret is safe with me.
Both very much. I hope this works.
Okay.
Well, we hope so too. None of our other advice works. This may work. See you later.
See you later.
Bye bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Alok Gupta from the Bay Area.
Yeah, sure.
No, really.
Alup?
No, Alok. Like a table's made of all oak.
All oak.
Yeah, it's not even a common Indian name.
No.
Alok, no.
Alok, oh, just like Arup.
But yeah, I thought you were going to ask about him. I do know an Arup Gupta, but I don't think he's the one you know.
And he's not related to you. But Gupta is like everyone in India is named Gupta, right? Like half the people.
There's a small number of last names over 500 million of people. So yeah, there are a lot of Guptas, lots of Patels, lots of Gandhis.
And there are lots of Arup Guptas.
Well, I know at least one.
Yeah.
So I own a 96 Mustang, has a 110,000 miles on it, and I made two mistakes. One mistake was my car know I got laid off.
Oh.
And the second one is I showed off while I was in the car.
Oh.
At 70 miles an hour, I thought I would show my passenger what the synchronizer does. So while the clutch was in, I was going to shift it into
reverse.
To first.
Oh.
To hear the gear spin up.
And?
I heard grinding, and after that, I couldn't shift it into any of the other gears.
I had to leave
the car at the side of the road at a safe place, and I came back in 3 days. And in 3 days, I got into the car, and all I could smell was burnt clutch. But then I found that I could shift it into gear, so I hobbled it to my mechanic, who found that the clutch had catastrophically failed, and we replaced that. But I still have that grinding into first.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm wondering if the synchro is blown out. And
no,
so,
it's not there anymore.
It's not there anymore.
It got blown out the back.
Okay.
It is there. But it's down at the bottom of the transmission case in little pieces.
As dust.
And you're never going to fix that.
Well,
that's going to cost too much.
You will, but it's going to require...
But you should get the pieces out.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's relatively easy to do with a magnet.
Okay.
Well, actually, they're probably brass.
No, they're probably not magnetizable.
So you're not going to get them out. But they'll come out the drain hole. You can take the drain plug out of the bottom of the transmission, and you can take the fill plug out, and you can flush out the transmission.
Okay.
So that the big chunks will come out. Shards. Won't do more damage to the other synchros.
I mean, if you're lucky, and all of physics would suggest that they being heavier than the oil, they should stay at the bottom.
Well, and they will for the most part.
But who knows? You know, quantum mechanics being what it is, anything could happen.
Now, this companion that was in the car with you, was this a guy or a gal?
There was a man and there was a woman.
There was. Were they
related to... What was the relationship among the three of you?
Let's see. The man and woman were husband and wife.
Yeah.
And I dated the woman 10 years ago.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And did you say... Just before you shifted the first, hey guys, watch this.
Yeah, I tried that. That was my script. Hey guys, watch this.
And what you expected to happen was that the car would rapidly decelerate.
No, I just thought the gears would spin up. I didn't engage at all.
Well, had you been able to engage the gears, you probably would have blown the engine.
Oh, really?
How lucky you were.
Little did you know that you were that lucky.
Yeah.
That it didn't work.
Something stayed your hand, Alok.
Wait. That doesn't make sense. Since you can hit the brake in second gear, slow the car down, you can hear the clutch slipping. You'd think the clutch would slip before the engine would blow.
Oh no.
No, it doesn't work that way.
No. Oh no.
I mean,
because you've disengaged the clutch.
Yeah.
Because you've stepped on the clutch pedal. Okay. And now all that's there is you and the shifter, and the clutch doesn't know nothing.
Oh, okay.
What kind of an engineer are you?
I used to be an oceanographer.
Oceanographer.
Many years.
To the high seas.
Yeah, I think so, because the clutch plates on those boats don't really ever touch.
Yeah. Well, forget about it. Just get past it emotionally and psychologically. Forget about shifting into first gear because you don't have a synchro there, but you don't need one.
Okay.
Use second gear.
Okay.
And I would just forget about the whole incident.
So then if I do need to get into first, I need to double clutch.
Exactly.
Or I need to...
Stop.
Well, another trick I learned was I can shift it into second, first, and then into first.
Right, until you blow out the second gear synchro. But
I hope it was fun. Well, it lasted.
It was an adventure, and the people who were waiting for us in San Diego thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
And so do we.
But this is the way that great discoveries are made.
Of course.
You have learned a tremendous amount. Unfortunately, it won't benefit you, but there may be a day, and so don't be discouraged by this.
Okay.
You remind me of the first words of a book that I recently looked at, Thought is Born of Failure.
Yes.
You're right.
I mean, you would never have thought about how that transmission works if that thing had worked.
And I now know that even though you don't engage the gears, you can damage
You can fry
stuff.
The synchros, yeah. See you later, Alok.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Man.
Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy, frogman. Pumpkin lips Berman. Our associate producers are David, the calves of Belleville Green, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug, the old gray mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor. Just back from the Fargo Fur Feather and Finn Fryer Later Fun Fest is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our emergency preparedness director is Ron Likel. Our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian Albin Heard Before. Our rental property manager is Ulysses Up. Our construction manager is Dustin Dubree. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester, of course, is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Lewis Dewey, known to the pigeons in leg warmers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And by the way,
yes,
don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1405, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. This week at cartalk.com, an insider's tour of our actual garage.
I thought we imposed a no cameras rule after that little visit we had from the Attorney General.
Well, where do you think we got the photos? They're from the Attorney General's website.
Check out the candid shots of our garage all this week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Terry Gross adds noise-canceling headphones to her Valentine's Day wish list whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.